We welcome you this morning. I would call your attention to a number of announcements. We want to make some additional comments and add a few, so they're very important this morning, and we would encourage you to pay close attention. We'll start on the inside. Obviously, you can catch an aroma of it that today is our fellowship dinner, and we trust that you'll be able to stay with us for that. Sometimes you forget that it's the fourth Sunday. Other times we have visitors and they're not aware of it, but you're all welcome to stay, and trust that it'll be a good time, and we would really encourage you to do that. Next Sunday evening, Tiffany Taylor will be talking about her coming up ministry in Mexico City with CAM International. She'll be spending a year down there and in a church planning effort, I believe, and she wants to just share that with us. And so we would encourage you to plan on being here next Sunday evening and hear what the Lord's doing in her life and what the ministry might be including. And so we'd just ask you to be there as Tiffany comes and at least part of the evening service and shares that work with her. This coming Saturday, we have need for a number of men to help Karen Brophy move. And so you can talk to her. Karen, wave your hand back there. She can use help, trucks, trailers, whatever. And so you might, if you can give her some time on Saturday morning to help her move the big stuff into the Springdale area tomorrow, or this coming Saturday, she would appreciate that. So you might just touch bases with her after the service and see where you might fit in. On the back, a number of important things. The hospitality happenings, that's the three family groupings. You sign up for that, and you're grouped with two other families, and then over a period of 3 months or so, you rotate one night a month in each other's house. The purpose to get your family acquainted with two other families, it's just kind of a interesting thing. It's very good. It does serve that purpose. And for the ones who have been involved in it in the last two cycles, I know they have been blessed by it. So we would encourage you to sign up somewhere on the bulletin board. There's a sign-up sheet, and we would encourage you to put your family's name down, and then you'll be assigned. Put into a group with two other families, and over the next several months have this rotating basis, and it's just a good way to get to know people that you might not have that kind of relationship with or activities with. And so we would encourage all of you, all the families, to sign up for that. A couple of ministry opportunities, we've mentioned them before, but they're really important, and some of them are getting close to where we really need help, but we still have a need for a first and second grade Sunday school class. That's Meredith Emus's class, and she needs to step down, and so we would encourage you to talk to her or Dale if you can help with that. And that's on a regular basis every Sunday. We still have need in the nursery, fourth Sunday, first hour, so that's just 1 hour a month. And you can talk to Patricia Emmerich about that. But we do want to adequately take care of our young ones, the smaller ones, and the Sunday school. And so these are real needs. It's not just filling in time. It's not just babysitting, but it's a ministry. And we would encourage you to consider one of these things, one of these areas of service. And we trust that you would be able to help us on that. We congratulate, I told, Bob Johnson, where are you? There's Bob Johnson. Bob Johnson has a new granddaughter, and he wants everybody to know it's his granddaughter. But we are thankful for Roy and Brooke and the arrival of Charlotte Grace, and things are going well, and we just rejoice with them on the safe arrival. It's always a blessing from the Lord. When a child is born, brought into this world safely, and we praise the Lord for that, and congratulate Roy and Brooke and Bob and Patty too as the parents, and we're thankful for that. At the same time, our our sympathy, our prayers with the Crawford family, specifically Susan and Pat O'Brien. Her mother passed away Thursday morning early, and we just pray for their comfort. There will be a memorial service here tomorrow at 1:30, and the family and other friends will be here, and you're welcome to join with them at 1:30 for a memorial service for Vernal. And the last thing is from the search committee, and details to follow. And the details are on here. Anybody read the calendar ever? You will notice on the 14th, that's two Sundays from now, we have put down a fellowship dinner and a special speaker. The search committee has faithfully, the people on the committee were very, very diligent, very, very faithful. We believe we have found a man who fits our congregation. The name is Brad Arnold. His wife is Kim. And Brad and Kim and three of their children will be with us that Sunday. Brad is a pastor in Nampa, Idaho, which is just a suburb of Boise. And he's been there. We'll put out a kind of a little biographical sketch next week, give you some more information. But they will be coming in on the Wednesday the 10th and leaving on Monday the 15th, and obviously speaking at both services on Sunday. We want to have a fellowship dinner to give them an opportunity to meet all of you. We'll have a question and answer period in the afternoon after the dinner. And then, of course, again, he'll be speaking on Sunday night. And so we would encourage you to put down the 14th as a Sunday you need to be here, if at all possible, so that you can get to meet them. They will be here Wednesday and Thursday, Friday and Saturday, leaving Monday morning. What we would like to do, and you can check with me if you want to get involved in this, on the evenings of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we would like some of our families to have them in their homes. Not the search committee. Some of you know that Brad has, they've visited us twice already. So the search committee has met with them, the elders have met with them, and everybody. So we want this visit to be for you. And so what we're looking for is on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, for a family to host them in their home and to invite two or three other families to be with them. Just don't have one family, but we would ask you to have two or three other families in so that over those 3 nights they can meet a number of families, not just a very small number. So if you want to be a host family on either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, see me afterwards, and then we'll sign you up for that, give you that night, and then we'll ask you to invite other people to join with you so that we can maximize their exposure. On Thursday, and this is up to the ladies, but perhaps the ladies' Bible study could have Kim with them in the morning and maybe have a ladies' luncheon afterwards. And you might, so I just tossed that idea out. You might work on that. And there might be something that we can do with the children, and we just tossed that out. They have two daughters, 10 and 14, and their 18-year-old son will be with them for the weekend. And there might be something. But the point is that we want to maximize the exposure to you folks so that by the time Sunday comes along and you hear Brad speak, you'll have a more than just that Sunday morning to look at him and say, is this the man? But the committee thinks this would be a good fit. As I said, we have been in contact with them over several months. We've had them here in Springdale at the church twice, not in a service, but in other times. And we are bringing him here as a good fit for this pulpit. And so we would encourage you to participate however you can. And at the same time, just really pray for the next 2 weeks that the Lord's will would be done for Brad and Kim and the family coming and for us as a congregation to see them and to receive them and just see how the Lord works. And we'll have more information next week and obviously more information the week that they're here. But do start praying for the 14th and our time with Brad and Kim Arnold. And we trust that the Lord will be pleased to bless us in this area. This frees you up, by the way. If you have talked to the search committee people, the elders and four others, Shane and Chris King and Kristen Carson and Linda Robinson, also with the six elders, and asked questions in time past, it's kind of been like a, you know, loose lips sink ships or something, and you haven't gotten much information. You are now free to ask the members of the search committee any question you want, because we want to tell you as much as we can individually as we know about Brad and Kim. And so we will be glad, all 10 of us on the committee will be glad to answer your questions personally if you have those. And if not, we'll just hand out information as we can, make it available to you next week so that you can meet them. But do pray. It's a very serious business, but we're kind of excited about that. And do pray for our time together starting on the 10th of the month and going through the 15th with Brad being here for both services on Sunday the 14th. We're glad you're here. Somebody put up a sign here to remind me that this is Fellowship Bible Church. This is from the men's retreat, by the way. And we appreciate knowing where we are this morning. But Chris is going to come and lead us in our service. We are really glad you're here and trust that our time together will be a blessing to you. Chris.
Good morning. If you'll take your hymnals, we're going to start our time of singing with a hymn of praise. It's number 9. If you'll stand together and sing with me, "Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him." It's number 9. Dear Lord, we thank you for all of these people that you have brought together today to worship you. Lord, we pray that even as we wait on you to work in our current circumstances, Lord, we pray that you would just fill our hearts with praise for everything that you've done for us, for who you are. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. If you'll turn over to number 117, number 117 is "We Come, O Christ, to You." Let's sing together. you. You may be seated.
Often when the choir sings, we sing songs of, a lot of our songs are songs about salvation, songs about the work of Christ on the cross, songs about Christian living and exhortations as to what we might do. Every now and then, though, it's good to just continue with the theme that we've been having this morning in just praising God for who He is and praising the Lord for who He is. And so the choir wants to come and sing at this point a song that just sings about the greatness of God, greatness of God in creation, and praise to His name, Almighty, Unchangeable God. Choir.
Take your Bibles now and turn to 2 Corinthians Dale's going to come up and read for us today.
Our reading this morning is in 2 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 4. We're starting in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, for though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building for God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared for us this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this passage this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that as John comes and shares from this passage, that you would just speak through him by your Spirit. I pray that you would prepare all of our hearts, Lord, that you would help us to forget about the things of the world today, and that you would just give us ears to hear and a heart to receive this morning. I do thank you for each one here, and thank you that we can gather together as Christians and that we can encourage one another and to learn from you. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Thank you.
You'll take your hymnals and stand again. We just want to continue in this triumphant music. Number 234, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's sing together. 234.
Dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's pray. Father, it is good to sing of your greatness. You are almighty. You are unchangeable. What a foundation for life this gives us, that we rest on you. It is also good to sing of our Savior, because he has died for us, and we can glorify and magnify his name forever. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you give us. The life we live here in this area at this particular time. As we look at this passage, help us to see how our knowledge of you ought to control and govern the way we live. Above all else, we would want to glorify your name, because we bear that name even in our own society. We are called Christians. Help us to not bear that name lightly. Thank you for these who are here this morning. We just pray your blessing on each one. And again, Father, quiet our hearts. You know the busyness of our lives and the cares and the concerns. just allow us, give us for a brief time rest from the world and from our normal pursuits, and the ability to be quiet before you as your word is taught to us by your Spirit. Just bless, we ask, and we'll thank you for it in your name. Amen. We want to look at just a short passage beginning at verse 6 of chapter 5. And it begins with the word therefore, and you know by now that therefore means that we have to look at what came before that, because therefore is some kind of conclusion based on that. And so it's legitimate to just briefly review what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks before we get to the therefore, because if what we've said over the last 2 weeks is true, then therefore we ought to be something or we ought to do something. And what we've learned in the last few verses of chapter 4 and the first 5 verses of chapter 5 is that we as Christians are to have an eternal perspective. We may be citizens of this country, we may be measuring our time in terms of birthdays and whatnot, and we call this the year 20,010 and so on and so forth. But that's not our focus. I mean, we really are living here, but that's not our focus. See? Our focus is not in 2010. Our focus is in eternity. And our focus is not in our present circumstances, but our focus is in what we're going to have for all eternity. And we've talked about that. We have vision. We see things that are not physically visible, but we see them. See, and as we see these things, it gives us a perspective for life here. Especially when the world, life in the world, tends to get hard, difficult. Just normal things make life difficult, but then you add to it the pressure of a world system that is against us. And it can be overt in some countries, and it can be subtle in others, but there's pressure against being a Christian. And all of this we see, and our eternal perspective, and we've talked about this, gives us the ability to respond appropriately. Our eternal perspective tells us that when we hear that by now famous or infamous commercial with the group of guys sitting around a campfire and they say, it don't get no better than this, that our eternal purpose, our eternal perspective says, we yell back at the TV, yes it does. See, now I don't know if you yell at your TV. That's a neat habit to develop. Really, really. I mean, they say, this is the greatest, and you say, it doesn't look so good to me. See, I mean, you know, it makes sense out of commercials by just, anyway. It does get better than this. See, our eternal perspective tells us that, it shows us that, and that's what we see. Dale read these verses. What's going on now doesn't count. Literally doesn't count. It has no weight. It's momentary. Even if it might be 60 or 70 years, it's momentary. Even if it seems like it's a heavy load, it's light. And light carries no weight. See, we have eternal weight of glory. We have everything. See, and that keeps us in perspective. And then I look at myself, and my eternal perspective tells me that I am going to get something new, whether it's a new suit, a new body, flesh that I put on like a new suit of clothes, or whether it's a new dwelling place. Instead of Arapaho, it'll be someplace, you know. Whether it's that kind of thing or whether it's a dwelling place, not quite sure. But it's eternal. It's God-made. It's in the heavens, see. And that's where I will be, and that's how I will be forever. And that gives me perspective. And we talked about it. The Holy Spirit is given to me, to you as a believer, to guarantee that. God gives us the Holy Spirit. And when I say, is this ever going to come? Is this ever going to happen? He says, do you have the Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? And if I say, yes, I do, he says, that's my down payment. And however glorious the Holy Spirit is, that's just a down payment, a pledge, an earnest. See? And so I have an eternal God-made in the heavens life. And that's what we've been talking about, and the glories of that, to look forward to that, and how it keeps this life in perspective. And so we don't get weighed down, we don't get destroyed by this life, because we have that perspective. See? Do you have that perspective, by the way? Just an aside, but do you have that perspective? Do you wake up tomorrow morning, or will you wake up tomorrow morning thinking about what the day is going to bring? And it may be either cause for rejoicing or cause for sorrowing or fear or whatever, but it's the day that counts, tomorrow? Or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday? See? Or do you wake up and say, I have an eternal God-made life, see? And I just happen to be putting in my time tomorrow, but that's what I look at, see? You need that perspective, see? And if you don't, you might ask God to give it to you. He has ways to give you eternity in your perspective. But having that, therefore, verse 6, therefore, knowing all this, knowing that this is all true and that that's what we have, see. Verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. You're not going to see that yet. But it's a working out day by day by day of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith giving us substance to things we don't see. See? And it's not make-believe. It's just not seen with my physical eyes. See? It's not wishful thinking. It's God's promise. See? It's not ignorance. We know, it says. We know, verse 6. See? Knowing that while we're here, we're just not there, but there's coming. See? So it's not just escapism, it's reality. That's really what we have, see. But therefore, with that perspective, I'm of good courage. I'm of good courage in this world. See. Confident, that's the idea of courage here. Confident. Even in uncertainty, you know, what's my next step? Well, I'm confident when I take it. See? I don't understand what's happening. Well, I'm still confident. It doesn't cause me to be timid and pull back. Well, I don't know. See? And when there's danger, the idea of courage is just plain courageous. See? You look at danger and say, can't frighten me. Literally. Because I know those things. That's my life. And therefore, it says, I'm of good courage. See? Now I'd rather, verse 8 says, I'd rather be with the Lord. If I had my druthers, see? I prefer, verse 8 says, be gone from here and present there, see? That's my home. You know, we sang my song last week, by the way, right? May I but safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my all. See, that's what I prefer. And as I said last week, that's not a death wish, that's a life wish. I want to get started on that. And that's what I prefer, rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. See, and that's what our eternal perspective gives us. It gives us that. What do you want in life? See, well, I want that, not this. See? That's what one thing all of this talk on eternal perspective gives us. See, this may be great, but it's not so great. See, that's what I want. See? I prefer rather to be absent from the body and be home with the Lord. And I'll grant you that getting older, fizzly, you know, whatever, makes it easier to think about that. But anybody who's a believer ought to be thinking that way. See, hard for a 20-year-old who has a whole life ahead of him, so to speak. See, but by the way, I have my whole life ahead of me too, right? I'm just putting in a few more years than you, but I have my whole life ahead of me too. So we're all the same. And therefore, having all of that, I prefer that. That's one of the conclusions of chapter 4 and the first part of chapter 5 lead us to. See? And that ought to be motivation for living down here. See? That ought to be enough. Now, I don't know about streets of gold and mansions over the hilltop and, you know, we've talked about the rusty old halo and the skinny white cloud song, which back in the good old days of the 50s, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, I don't know about the details. I just know. See, that's my preference. See. And someone says to you, what do you want out of life? And you say, well, you've said a lot. You just want out. See, to get to life. See, that's our preference. And you say, well, I don't know. And if you can't say that, if you can't read verse 8 and say, therefore, I'm of good courage and I prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord, then what I would advise you to do is go back to chapter 4, first part of chapter 5, and read it and say, Lord, show me. Show me. See, it's really a therefore. It's a conclusion we have based on what he said about our life here. He says, I prefer to be there. And we need to work on that. But that ought to be motivation. That ought to help us live. That ought to be the, kind of a, you know. But the interesting thing is Paul doesn't stop it there and say, well, because you have heaven coming, that'll govern your life here. He doesn't stop there. He gives us another therefore, see. Therefore, because we're walking by faith, not by sight, because I have an eternal God-made heaven in waiting for me, and that's when the life, and that's what I prefer. Therefore, verse 9 says, I have an ambition in life. Now, maybe you don't have any ambition. I want to give you an ambition today. See. And that ambition is based on a big word that you need to understand when you think of your life here. And the word is judgment. Judgment. And you know as well as I do that there are at least two concepts that really get people upset. One of them is if I talk about the sovereignty of God and you're sitting there fussing, well, am I a chosen one or am I a chooser? You know, and how does God, in his electing grace and all that sort of, and, you know, you can't tell me what, you know. The other one is that I, as a Christian, am going to face judgment. Now, you can handle election and sovereignty because you say, well, I don't believe what the other guys believe, but whichever. Yeah. I, as a Christian, am going to face judgment. I have all this eternal perspective. Therefore, see, I have an ambition, something that drives me, that motivates me, that just moves me. This idea of ambition is A desire to gain a particular end. That's it, your ambition. You want to be rich, you're going to do something. You want to be strong, you do something. You want to be famous, you do. I have an ambition. Therefore, I have an ambition, and it's based on the fact that there's judgment coming. Now, we're not talking about salvation, and all of you are thinking of Romans 8, 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and that's neat. That verse, by the way, allows you to go to sleep at night, right? It doesn't matter. See? Told you about my friend up in Indiana in a machine shop where I work, and he said, I'm afraid to go to bed at night for fear that I'll die and wake up and face God in a judgment. See? And I could tell him that I didn't have that fear. See? We're not talking about that. See? What we have here is a judgment, that's an accountability, an answering. See? And if we understand that, along with our eternal perspective, and we understand our eternal perspective along with the concept of the judgment we face, that will help us live, that will give us life, appropriate life here while we wait for that life there. I mean, 1 John chapter 3 talks about the coming of the Lord. We shall be like him, even as he is. You know, 1 John 3 and 2 or 3 or something. Because we'll see him, and that's our hope. But in that context, he says, if we have this hope, we purify ourselves, and the reason we purify ourselves is so that we won't shrink back when he comes. Did you ever think of that verse? That when we say, Maranatha, come, Lord, he may come, and I may shrink back. I may pull back away from him. Therefore, verse 9 says, I prefer to be with him, knowing what's coming. Therefore, I have as my ambition, my drive of my whole life, whether I'm here or there, I want to be pleasing to him. What do you want to do this afternoon? I want to be pleasing to him. What do you want to do with the rest of your life? I want to please him. I want to be pleasing to him. See, our ambition is not to be president of the United States or whatever might be your ambition. See, our ambition, what drives us, is to be pleasing to him. See. Now, I grant you, again, we're not talking about salvation here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, marvelous, marvelous truth. You look at me and you see somebody who is accepted in the beloved. See, that's the word pleasing, acceptable. I am accepted in the beloved. See, so I'm not talking about that. See, but right here today, what do you want to be today, John? What do you want to be today? I want to be pleasing to him. See? Psalm 19, you read it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable, pleasing in your sight, O Lord. See? Romans 12, 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. Colossians 1:10 talks about we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respect. I mean, it's just when Scripture talks about how we live, it talks about that word. We live in a way that pleases him. See? And we need to be concerned with being pleasing to him. It's not just I want to get to heaven. It's right now I want to please him. See? And what drives me, my motivation for living, things I do are all measured against, am I pleasing to him? See? And it's not, am I pleasing to me or am I pleasing to you? It's, am I pleasing to him? See? Which means we have to, by the way, we have to understand who he is. We have a lot of silliness in our society today. You know, the most nonsensical thing anybody has ever said is God as you perceive him to be. You know, it's like you just make up your own God. Well, that's neat. You know, it's like a little puppy dog. He comes when I call him sometimes, you know. Or my turtles, they come when I call them, you know. God as you perceive him to be. That's silly. It's God as he really is. Remember when he said to the people, the wicked in Psalm 50, he says, you thought I was just like you. That's your problem. You thought I was just like you, and I'm not. See? And we can't get mushy about God either. I mean, you read Acts chapter 17. He has set a day when he's going to judge the world in righteousness by the man that he has appointed, the one he raised from the dead, see. We need to understand God and we need to look and say, how is he like? Colossians chapter 3 says, we are being renewed according to a true knowledge of the image of the one who created us. See, that's the process going on. How he is, and we're being renewed to that image. I mean, that's, we need to know that. We need to learn how he is. See? And we put him on like a, Colossians says, like a new man. See. And knowing him, then I look at my life and say, am I pleasing to him? And that's important because verse 9 is followed by verse 10. See? You will stand before him to see if, or to be evaluated on a basis of, are you pleasing to him? I will too. See? Therefore, we have as our ambition to be pleasing to him because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. See? That's the famous Bema, if you will, you know. But it was just a bench in a Roman town where at certain times, on certain days, or maybe all the time, the magistrate would sit. And people would come before him, and the cases would be heard before him. And you can read one of those cases in 1 Corinthians or Book of Acts where they beat this guy in front of him. And they, you know, I mean, that's just where legal things were done. Cases were heard, and verdicts were rendered. And on, by the way, on each side they had the thing called the lictor, a man with the symbol of. He had, it was a symbol of an axe with a bunch of rods wrapped around its handle. They could either beat you or they could cut your head off, see. I mean, it was judgment. It was a judgment place. A verdict would be rendered based on the case that was heard before him, see. And verse 10 says, we all, that's pretty inclusive, right? We all, not some of us, but we all, must, and that's a Greek word that means it is necessary. Not we might or we should if we feel like it, but we must. That's absolutely certain because it's absolutely necessary. There's no way to get around it. We all must appear. And that's not just wander in for a visit to see what's happening, right? That word is, I think, if I remember right, it's passive, and it's we must be manifest. We are appeared, see. It's done to us. And Hebrews 4:13, after it talks about the word of God being sharper than a two-edged sword, being able to pierce us even to the innermost being. And it says, because, you know, everything is open before God, before the one with whom we have to do. Nothing is hidden before him, see. And we all must appear, that's be manifest, see, at this place of judgment, and it's called the judgment seat of Christ. It's not the great white throne judgment at the end of Revelation where heaven and earth and the books and God on the throne and whatnot. It's the judgment seat of Christ. It's something that's in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we are there, we are evaluated, we give an answer, we are accountable for the things done in our body, and we receive something based on that. See, we are recompensed for the things done in the body, the deeds done in the body, whether they're good or they're bad. Now, we love the first part of that, don't we? Whoa, I get my rewards there, right? And you've heard that. You get your reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, that's probably true. Maybe, although it doesn't use the word reward, it uses the word recompense, which is a little different, see? It's a word for wages. You get what you earn. Now, I know I'm treading on thin ice talking about Christians earning things because we're by grace and faith and all that, but this word for wages here, you receive what you earn if for what you did good and what you did bad. And people say, well, you get rewards for the good things and you just don't get anything for the bad. You don't get rewards for the bad. And it doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. It says you receive for what you did wrong. You receive for the bad deeds in your body. I mean, that's what it says. Now, interesting, it doesn't tell what we receive, but it's not just not getting something. That's not a receiving at all. See? Not getting something. It's I get something. I don't understand that verse. I'll tell you that. I don't know how it happens. I don't know what I receive. But I'll tell you the one thing we do know about this verse. Paul says, therefore, with our eternal perspective, my ambition is to please him because I have that day coming. See, I have that day coming. And whatever else you want to do with it, it is serious. See, it is enough that Paul says, this motivates my whole life. This event in chapter 5, verse 10, is the reason why I want to please him. See. And isn't it interesting? He doesn't say, I want to please him because I love him. I want to please him because he's my Lord and Savior. He says, I want to please him because I stand before him and answer for my life. That's what the passage says. Now, you put that in any books you've read and you put that in any theology system you have, but that's what the passage says. I want to please him because I stand before him on the basis of my life. Therefore, see, that's a big therefore. So, it doesn't detract from the glories of my eternal God-made life in heaven that I have waiting for me and I'm going to get. Doesn't detract from that at all. It doesn't detract from my anticipation. See, I want to be there. I want to be there. That's what I prefer. See, as good as Springdale is, and the Chamber of Commerce is really fighting a losing battle, convincing me that it's good here in Springdale, but be that as it may, see, as good as life in Springdale is, I want to be there. See? Therefore, because that's my preference, that's my goal, that's my destination, therefore, right today, I want to please Him because I answer for how I live today. That's a hard passage, isn't it? But that's why Paul put it in there, to be a hard passage. You say, well, that's serious business. I never thought of that before. I just kind of, you know, that's why Paul put it in there. Because he's talking to people that need to hear that. See, the Corinthians had a little bit of problem with some of their lifestyles, and he's trying to tell them why they need to be pleasing to God, be pleasing to the Lord. And we just take that out and drop it right in here and say, hey, we need to be pleasing to the Lord. I need to be pleasing to the Lord because I will appear before the judgment seat of Christ and receive based on my life. So since that day is what it is, and since Jesus Christ is how He is, see, from here on at least, see, what drives me, my ambition, what I want to be, see, with my life. And we all have ambitions. And this one takes precedence. See. What I want to be and what drives me is to be pleasing to Him. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews wrote some interesting things as well. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if those did not, this is written to believers, for if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. His voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This yet once more denotes the removing of those things which cannot be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Here's our verse. Therefore, for us, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, my God-made eternal life, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable, that's our word, pleasing service with reverence and awe, because our God is a consuming fire. See? Little different words, but the same thing. Since we have that, we show our gratitude to Him by an acceptable life because of how He is. And Paul says, since we have that perspective, that's our ambition, to be pleasing to Him because of how He is, and we stand before Him. It's going to be a great day. It really is. I want to be pleasing to Him. Let's pray. Father, teach us what it is to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. Teach us what it is to live in such a way that we show gratitude in an acceptable way, so that when we stand before the Lord, we are pleasing to Him. Give us this ambition. Give us this drive. May this be the thing that motivates us, moves us totally. that above all else we would be pleasing to Him. Thank you, Father, in your name. Amen. I recognize I might have raised some questions in some of your minds. I'll be at the coffee pot at the fellowship dinner, and seriously, be glad to talk to you about this passage, maybe in some more personal details. But take your hymnals, please, and turn to 441. 441, take time to be holy. Just a good thought, thinking that this is the way we're moving. So stand, please. And we'll just sing the first, the second, and the last verse. 1, 2, and 4. Take time to be holy. Good thought for us in light of that passage. And then, Steve, would you come, please, and close in prayer. 441, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Our Heavenly Father, help us to be a people who take very seriously and with fear the danger of falling into the hands of the living God. I pray that you, as your people, we would live our lives pleasing to you. Live carefully, live uprightly, and live in a holy manner before you as your people. And Father, I too pray for those here that haven't trusted you as their personal Savior. I pray that there would be a work of your Spirit in their lives, that they would recognize that there one day will be a day of judgment, a day that they stand before your throne to receive what is done. And I do pray, Father, for your work in lives today, for strengthening. Thank you, too, for time of fellowship, for food that you provide for us. We thank you for it. Bless the day ahead in Jesus' name. Amen.